back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can listen to these programs there. I have other resources you can take advantage of. And posted there the entire study in Genesis. Soon, within a week or so, I should have the entire study in Exodus posted there. And I believe this program, like to make it a through the Bible for the 21st century type of a program. I really don't want to date it. I'd like it to be for all time, although I'm certain that a lot of it's dated, say, 100 years ago. Who knows? The nation that I live in now may not even exist, or it may have morphed so much that it would be unrecognizable. I'm certain that it has morphed at least twice since it was founded into something unrecognizable to the people 100 years prior. But the endeavor here is to just go through the scripture and not to pull any punches, not to have an agenda, but to just see the truth of what's in the scripture, what it really says, and see if that is applicable to our lives, what parts have been fulfilled, what's been done away with, what applies to today, to learn what we can from it. And we're in Exodus right now, last chapter of Exodus, chapter 40. And we've discovered that they're just setting up the tabernacle. They've been gone. They've been on a long journey in the wilderness. It's been a year. Moses has gone up to the mountain twice for 40 days and 40 nights. He's come back with the tablets twice. First time he broke them, and many of the children of Israel died because of their propensity to, they chose, basically, because Moses said, whoever's on Yahuwah's side, come over here with me. And so many men and their families came over to Moses, the Levites took their swords, and they went throughout the camp, and thousands of men fell that day because they weren't on his side. Yahuwah has had no place in the nation of Israel for those that wanted to follow other gods. Of course, I'm, fortunate today that the nation of Israel is like a picture of the kingdom of God, only it's a kingdom in the flesh, because that's what the nation of Israel was. It was a kingdom of God in the flesh. And of course, things in the flesh happen much differently than they do in the spirit. In that kingdom, we see that there is not tolerated in his kingdom. This is a picture of his kingdom, of his spiritual kingdom as it exists today. We have a picture of that kingdom in the flesh, and we see that nothing was tolerated that would put any other god or any other image before him. It was not tolerated in his kingdom. And I'll tell you what, it's not tolerated today in his kingdom. Fortunately, he judges the intents of the heart, and I'm certain he judged the intent of the heart then, too, because I'm sure there were people that fell into the idolatry, that those that instigated that idolatry, the calf and so forth, that lived. And we know that's true, because Aaron, who went along with the crowd, he tried to appease the crowd by saying, okay, bring your gold, and they fashioned a calf. Yeah, Aaron was in that. They're high priest in the flesh was with that, but he lived, and all of the Levites lived, even though they fell into it. But what was the intent of their heart? Well, the intent of their heart was to appease the people. They were like politicians. So we see, at the same time, while he tolerates nothing that is idolatrous or that in his kingdom, at the same time he judges the heart, and that he is a very I wouldn't say tolerant, but very lenient, that our Heavenly Father is a very lenient God. You'd say, well, he wasn't lenient to those that were killed, but yeah, he was very lenient in letting those live that he let live. So he was very lenient. And so he is very lenient with us, that even though we may kindle a fire, that we can't keep his laws and his commandments fully, that he judges the intent of our heart, and he also knows our weaknesses, and he judges us accordingly. So that's, I pray, that the intent of my heart and the intent of your heart, you know, Heavenly Father, you know, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let the intent of our hearts be always toward you, be always to please you, even if we're not able, even if in moments of weakness we do terrible things, as Aaron did. It was a terrible thing, him going along with the crowd, setting up that idol, and allowing the children of Israel to become intoxicated to the point that they were naked and playing around this idol, and God knows what was going on there. You know, we can only imagine what was going on. We don't even want to imagine. The scripture says, let not those things even be spoken of that are done. So we don't want to even imagine what they were into. But we see the condition there. So we can be grateful, and we are grateful. I'm grateful to our Heavenly Father that He is so lenient with us, that we don't have to follow to the letter. But let not our liberty, as Paul said, it be an occasion for the flesh. Use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh to sin. You know, don't make excuses to sin. We need to be very careful that our heart doesn't follow after those things that are weaknesses and allow them to draw us away. Because we really do need to fear what could happen to us. You know, fear not him who can destroy your body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. You know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, these are dire warnings. These are things that we need to continually look to. We need to question our salvation. We need to make sure. So, you know, till the day I die. Yeah. Am I going to make it? Oh, Heavenly Father, please, you know, let me be chosen. Let me be one that is called. Keep me in your kingdom. Don't let me go astray. That needs to be our heart's cry. Teach me obedience. Teach me to walk in your ways. Help me to regard your commands. You know, and something that I've been doing for the last couple years is I've been trying to, I can't really observe his calendar. Well, I guess I could observe it in the way that I notice it. I notice his calendar. I'm looking at the moon. I'm seeing that when I look out in the evening and I see the first full moon every month in the evening, I know what day it is according to his calendar now, because it's becoming secondhand. I'm observing it, and when I see it, I know it's the 15th day of the month, that it's the beginning of the Sabbath, because he put his calendar in the sky. And that's something we can all do that. Or we could just turn harden our heart and say, oh, that's just nonsense. We don't have to do that. The law was nailed to the cross. That was for the children of Israel. No, I believe he'll restore it. And I believe that I should reference his calendar. I should look to it, even if I can't keep it, to notice it and to have a heart's desire that says, I can't wait for him to appear. I can't wait for him. I'm excited. I'm anxious for him to come and restore all things. I look forward to the day when all of these other ways are abolished and I can keep his calendar. That's what he's looking for. So don't harden your heart and don't embrace these thoughts and patterns of thinking that cause you to abhor his ways and his calendar. That's basically what it would be. It would be to consider his things abhorrent. And yeah, you know, they do seem abhorrent at first, because we've been schooled in the world. We've all been in their indoctrination centers. Well, not we all, but at least most of us have been indoctrinated and schooled in the ways of romance, in the ways of idolatry, in the ways of statism. But we need to start putting off those things. We need to be attentive. We need to at least start to observe and consider his ways. And it's interesting, because now it's a part of who I am. I'll be ready. Yeah, you know, when the time comes, when these things are thrown off, I'll be ready. It may be, you know, 50 years from now, and my mortal flesh is planted in the ground. It may be that long, and it probably will be that long. Probably none of us who are sitting here in our mortal flesh today will see the coming of Yahushua to set up his kingdom during our mortal life. Most of us will go to him. Most of us won't see him until the resurrection. That's another study, a whole other topic, which perhaps someday I'm going to have to spend a few days on, just the calendar issue. But I don't believe he's coming in my lifetime, as in the end of the world scenario, where he's going to, you know, set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. I believe that'll be after my mortal life has ended. And, you know, I'm in good company, too, because everybody for the last 6,000 years has died and has not seen it. And it's most likely that all of us here and everyone listening to my voice there will come to the end of their mortal life and will not see it until that end of their mortal life comes. Then we all go to the resurrection and we will see it then, as it is written. So I look forward to that. Until then, I'm going to learn everything I can about what it's going to be, about what his law is, about what his calendar is, about what his name is. And if you're interested in that, those things, then you're listening to the right study. You're in the right place because you're amongst kindred spirits here, people who just want his truth, who don't want a watered-down, truncated gospel. The gospel of going to heaven when you die. Yes, we do get to go to heaven when we die, but we get to be there now. We get to sit in heavenly places in Yahushua, Christ, Jesus, our Messiah. We get to be there now in his kingdom because we love him and we want to do only the things that please him. Let's jump back in here to Exodus chapter 40. So it came to pass in the first month, the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad over the tent, he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent upon it, as Yahuwah commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark. And this is the Ark of the Covenant. Of course, the ark, the testimony, were these tablets that he received after he went up the second time for 40 days and 40 nights. And he set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And the ark put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as Yahuwah commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as Yahuwah had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward, and he lighted the lamps before Yahuwah, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as Yahuwah commanded Moses. So they're doing all these things. The priests are setting this up as Moses had commanded. And I'm certain that they had to set up a school to teach everyone all the words to set this thing up so that they were ready on the day that it was set up. We're talking a fairly good-sized production here. And the children of Israel, perhaps they numbered in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. I really have no idea how many people were there. I guess we could do the math and find out how many people were there. But we know that thousands died in that first year, so it was no small number. He set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as Yahuwah commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed. as Yahuwah commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yahuwah filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Yahuwah was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the Israel throughout all their journeyings. Henry says, when the goods were brought into God's house, they were marked first, then the servants were hired to bear the vessels of Yahuwah, or the Lord, and those must be clean who were put into that office. The law which was now ordered to be put in execution, we had before. Thus, in the visible church, which is God's tabernacle among men, it is requisite that there be ministers to keep the charge of the sanctuary, and that they receive the anointing. Okay, well, that concludes our study in Exodus with chapter 20. I don't really know where I want to go from here. And perhaps we should just continue with Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, because really, you know, this is a continuing story. And, you know, I like to read novels. And I especially like novels that are a continuing story. I've read a number of them. I guess one of my favorites, which would be a fantasy novel, would be The Lord of the Rings, which starts with The Hobbit and then continues with the trilogy. And I've read many other of those types of novels. Well, this is not a novel. It is a continuing story, however. And perhaps we should just read it that way. And I've always suggested to people to just read it that way, to just go through it, Genesis, and right on through. Many parts of it are hard to read or don't seem that important, like all of the details of the clothing, of the tabernacle, the tents, and you have chapter after chapter of details. And I've skimmed through some of those, and Exodus, and Leviticus is kind of that way. It gets into the detail of the law, and then it gets into the details of, because it is Leviticus, it's concerning the priests and what they were supposed to do in the ritual sacrifice and so forth. But there's a lot of the law in here because of their carrying out of the law that needs to be read. So perhaps that's what we'll do starting tomorrow. We'll start on Leviticus, and I really feel like that's where the Holy Spirit is leading me. And what we get here is, like I said, is a picture of the kingdom of God, a type of the kingdom of God, only in the flesh, and it's something that we have not had in the flesh, and we will not have until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And I like to translate that times of the Gentiles because it's the times of the nations. And usually, although the word Gentile there was also used for the nation Israel because the word is nation, but usually you have to translate that word in context. And that's why most of the time it's referring to the other nations. So as a rule, they just refer to the other nations beside Israel as the Gentiles. Okay, the kingdom of God was done away with, basically, with the judges. Israel became a nation like the other nations because they had a king and they set up a hierarchy where a man ruled over them. And when the prophet lamented that they've rejected me, our Heavenly Father said, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. They have rejected me from being king over them. That's what the Heavenly Father said when they threw off the judges, his system of government that he set up over Israel, because they wanted a king like other nations. So kings and presidents are not centralized government in that fashion. It's not our Heavenly Father's way. Not to have a president. A president is a king. Come on, a dictator is a king. A king is a king. It's where you have one head. So these are all kingdoms. So really, the times of the nations or the times of the Gentiles as a prophetic phrase is not specifically just referring to the other nations besides Israel. Because Israel threw off the kingdom of God when they threw off his government, the judges, when they threw it off. And we are in what is now called the times of the Gentiles. And I believe that as long as we're in the times of the Gentiles, we may have kingdoms that are better, and we may have kingdoms that are worse. I recently read Kings, you know, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and in my own personal study. And I saw that they had some kings that were good and some kings that were bad, but mostly they were bad. And that's what they had in Israel in their times of the kings. So I believe that was part of what we could term the times of the Gentiles, because it was the times of the nations. And Israel had become a nation like the other nations of the world when they threw off when they no longer accepted him as king for them. And he told them what would happen. And we see that has continued to this day. Israel was only headed for trouble then, because they finally threw off the King of Kings. And yes, and the King of Kings, he became a man, as was foretold, and he laid down his life to redeem us, to redeem all of us, all of the ecclesia that went before that instance where he became a man, and all of those who would by faith choose a life of obedience to the Heavenly Father afterwards. That is the ecclesia, from the beginning to the end. But the times of the nations, and that's what we're in now, the times of the nations. Some are better, some are worse, and some change over time. It really doesn't matter. But there always was a kingdom. The kingdom in the Spirit. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was always in the Spirit. Like you had Adam and Eve. They entered into his kingdom. They were part of his congregation, the ecclesia, the church, the true church. And there were those in the nation of Israel, in physical Israel in the wilderness. There were those who were not in his kingdom, and they were not tolerated at all. And speaking of tolerance, in the kingdom of heaven, as it exists now, as opposed to the nations, the times of the Gentiles, or the times of the nations, which has not been fulfilled yet, we will see an end put to that. And we can see that from Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamed of an image, and Daniel gave us the interpretation of the image. And perhaps we'll close out this segment speaking about the times of the Gentiles and the nations, and how that is juxtaposed to the kingdom of God as a reality today. We'll be back after these messages.